Hi, I'm Mike Dilk and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family and your friends. Each week I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Hi and thank you for joining me on the Relax Back UK show. The topic this week is treating people at home rather than hospital for all kinds of illnesses.
We deliver patients who have long-term conditions, medicines to them. We train them how to take them. And as a result of that, they become more compliant on their medication. And as a result of that, they stay well.
My guests are Sir Jonathan Asprey, inaugural president of the Nursing and Midwifery Council, and Dr. Sharif Rauf, consultant clinical oncologist. So please do stay tuned for a great show. Thank you. So the topic is treating people at home rather than at hospital and some of the many benefits that this can bring. But my first question to the guests was, well, do patients just get in the way of running an efficient hospital? Is that the thing?
Well, I'll start. The one thing that you didn't say was that I'm the chief clinical officer at Scientis, and we provide acute clinical care in patients' homes, and we provide them with the medicines they need in order to be able to stay well if they've got a long-term condition. Patients who have cancer, we give them their chemotherapy at home so they don't have to travel to the hospital and stay in the chemotherapy unit. And we also treat children and young people with rare diseases which need more complex treatments very often, which in the past only took place in hospitals, which meant that children and young people's education was disrupted. They had to go to the hospital sometimes every week. And now what we do is we go to home, maybe after school, or sometimes we go to them at school to give them their treatments there. So
I guess the question I was asking is why is it better? You know, I was being a bit flippant saying to patients, just get in the way, but I suppose, you know, I was after some benefits. You commented on one there, how children might miss school if they have to go into hospital, but I'm sure there's some others.
Oh, tremendous number. I'll ask Sharif to talk in a second about his. I mean, the first thing is that we deliver patients who have long-term conditions, medicines to them. We train them how to take them. And as a result of that, they become more compliant on their medication. And as a result of that, they stay well. And if they stay well, they need less hospital visits and they can live their lives properly. And that's one of the real objectives that we have and one of the real benefits that we see.
So you find if you can arrange a way for people to get their medication at home, they're more likely to take their medicine.
Yes, and particularly with people who might struggle to get to a hospital to have an appointment to get them their prescription, who may not be well enough and may then not bother. And that what happens then, patients don't have their medication, they don't take it properly, and they become ill, and then they end up going to the hospital.
Okay. So what about, again, it might sound slightly flippant, but I don't really mean to. I mean, a hospital is just full of sick people. So, you know, if you can keep away from hospital, that this is probably a good thing to do.
Yeah, I'll ask Sharif to answer that question. It's a good one.
Thank you, Jonathan. And I think, Mike, you're absolutely right. If we think of hospitals, I had the privilege of moving into a brand new built purpose hospital a few years back now. And we designed a beautiful chemotherapy suite. I'm a cancer specialist. I treat cancer by trade. And we designed a fantastic, modern, airy chemotherapy suite with 26 chairs, very comfortable. The fact of the matter is we are seeing a 10 to 13% increase in chemotherapy patient numbers year by year, and the hospital's capacity is not going to increase by anywhere near that, by any stretch of the imagination.
So not even if you use all the corridors.
Well, this is the last thing we would want to do, use corridor for chemotherapy patients.
I'm being a bit facetious, you can tell.
No, fair point. But I think the whole idea is that you want a chemotherapy patient being observed by a nurse almost all the time. Chemotherapy can escape from the needle, go under the skin, cause all sort of problems for the patient. So I think the visual contact between a nurse and a patient, even if it's not one-to-one, is very, very important. And what we've noticed recently, and I'm talking about what's happening now, is because of this capacity issue, a lot of patients on a very finite prognosis or you know, limited life expectancy are having to wait longer and longer to start a life-saving chemotherapy treatment that may extend their life by weeks, months, sometimes even years. But these patients are waiting anxiously at home, and there is nowhere for them to go. And it's not a hospital fault, it's capacity fault. Okay. Where scientists can come and help, and you know, I've seen it for myself, that we can go in, have a one-to-one nurse go to the patient home at the place where they are, very comfortable, watching the television or listening to the favorite program, and that nurse takes the patient observation, have a chat, check their mental state, make sure all the family members are okay, and administer the drugs safely under very strict governance and clinical control like you would have in hospital. But she's only has got one patient to concentrate on. So if anything happens, she's there in a flash.
Okay. I mean, this does sound like treatment in a perfect world. In the hospital, I'm assuming one nurse that's administering chemotherapy via
five or six patients at a time.
Yeah, but it's so at home it's one at a time, which
it's
kind of
it's one-on-one.
It sounds very good, but it's also less efficient, is it not?
Okay, well, it is less efficient in terms of money wise, but if you can't get the patient to get the treatment in the first place,
yeah,
actually, you're missing the point, because the patient is not going to benefit at all. Yeah. And I think we're talking about palliative care patients who are having palliative chemotherapy, and doctors, people ask, how long have I got to live, doc? And some say 6 months with treatment, without treatment, 12 months with treatment. But if we wait 3 months to start you on treatment, that's already eaten up into a very limited lifespan. So I think, you know, there is money, a concept, and of course that's important. But I think the important is solving the immediate problem that is increasing all the time, is capacity.
Yeah.
But it's not just that. It's the capacity. It's the loss of earning that the patient have to endure by going to hospital appointments to have a blood test, 2 days later come back to have the chemotherapy, 2 days before that go to see the consultant, make sure everything is all right. If all this can be condensed into one appointment to see the consultant, we send nurses to take the blood from the patients at home at the time of their convenience, and then send the patient later to give the chemotherapy again at the time of the patient convenience. We're not going to knock on the door at 6 o'clock in the morning. We're going to say, what time suits you, Mr. X, to come and have your treatment?
All right.
I think that is where this personal service makes a huge difference to patient lives.
Yeah, and certainly, I guess not all chemotherapy is delivered via a needle. Some is via pills, is it not?
Some is via pills, and again, our nurses can go and deliver the chemotherapy for the patient, i.e. the pills to take at home. But believe it or not, pills carry just as much risk as intravenous chemotherapy, because patients sometimes overcompensate. They have side effects, but they don't want to miss a tablet or two in case of disrupting the treatment cycle. They don't want to disturb the doctor and nurses, or they know they're very busy in the hospital. So they end up taking a tablet where ideally you should have stopped to break the side effect cycle to allow things to resettle and start again. And again, where we offer is a 24-hour advice bureau where experienced nursing manning the telephone 24 hours day and night to advise the patient, well, if you have this X, stop the treatment for a couple of days. We'll inform your consultant so they're aware, and we'll tell you back when to start when things are safe.
Okay. Actually, that was going to be my next question, kind of keeping an eye on patients when they are at home in that scenario. So we can, you know, you can telephone a nurse. Do you use kind of technical methods to get a bit cleverer? Can vital signs be monitored remotely, that sort of thing?
I think that is our next iteration in where we are going with the evolution of the company. And I think I've only joined the company recently, but what I've seen is an enormous appetite to embrace technology, where we are looking at wearables, exactly as you said, you know, watches that can monitor vital signs and report directly to a nerve center. I'm sure we've all heard the stories about, you know, the ITU teams in Australia where they monitor patients hundreds of miles away just through technology. And I think this is the next way we're going to do things. It's the way forward to save time and effort.
Sorry to interrupt you, Sharif. We actually have a big digital offering for the other patients that we treat. Obviously, we treat 200 and we've got over 250,000 patients in the UK alone. Cancer patients, the ones that Sharif are referring to. At any one time, I think, Sharif, we've got about 1,600 patients that we would be treating. But the other part of our offering is for people with long-term conditions. And provide them with their medicines and training or the administration, as I referred to early on. And what's interesting, you asked a question at the beginning about, you know, do people know about what we can do? Do we know what can be delivered? And this is why we're launching the report today, is because when we did a survey, we did a poll of about 2,500 patients. First of all, 88% of those had no idea that you could have chemotherapy at home, that it was safe to do so. And also, the other thing is that 57% of patients cited hidden travel costs as being one of the things that concerned them. And I talked earlier about, you know, the fact that we treat patients in very deprived areas of the United Kingdom, across the four countries of the United Kingdom. And we're able, therefore, to support them to remain concordant with their medications because of the fact that we go to them. We deliver their medicines to them. It's reliable, and it's we've trained them already to administer those drugs. So they're able to stay well. And the 10-year plan, as you know, which is one of the reasons why we really wanted to launch our report, the 10-year plan is all about making sure that we take care to patients closer to home, either in a neighborhood or in their own homes. And this is why we want to share what we do today, because this is what we actually do. And we've done it for 30 years, and we've grown in partnership with the NHS to be able to help people to stay well and to function. Because if you're well, you can work. If you work, mm-hmm. you can help yourself as well. So that was really, I mean, the point that we've talked is, Sharif has talked about the quality of the care. The patients who have not got cancer, having other treatments, have exactly the same quality of care as the one that Sharif describes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're
let me just pick up on something you mentioned, because it's been in the news quite a lot recently, and that's traveling to hospitals, and then when you get there, parking at hospital.
Yeah.
Because parking at a hospital can be very difficult and also quite expensive.
Yeah.
And I think that can put a lot of people off. I've often been, the odd occasion that I've gone to A&E, our local hospital, finding a parking space. And in fact, one time, this is quite a few years ago, when my wife was ill, actually she was having a miscarriage, and the hospital was just jammed up with cars. I nearly abandoned the car and just said, look, you can have the car. I don't care. You can do what you want with it. I'm taking my wife in now. And it can be a real problem. But I have a good positive story as well, actually. Last week, I did a blood test in my local hospital. And they've just changed the system where you now book an appointment, you get a slot, and you get 30 minutes free parking. And when I first did this, I thought, this isn't going to work. I'm not going to be out of here in half an hour. I parked, went in, I was seen in 10 minutes, out again. It was fabulously efficient for blood tests. However, having said that, I'm not that ill. I'm sure plenty of people would find it quite a trauma to get into the hospital. Let me ask you about something else. I'm sure in the stuff I was sent, it mentioned dialysis. Can you do dialysis at home for kidney patients?
Yeah, well, we don't do dialysis at home, but it can be done and has been. Actually, dialysis was one of the first acute treatments that they used to do at home. I mean, I've been a nurse for nearly 50 years, and I can tell you we were doing it in the 70s when I was training. I mean, it's become very, very, it's become very much more sophisticated than it was then. But one of the things I just want to say as well is that we have, if you're on service with us and you are having, you've got a long-term condition and we're supplying you with your specialist medicines and a nursing if you need it to support that, then you can do everything through our app. And as Sharif was saying, the next extension to our digital offering is going to be the remote monitoring aspect, which then ties into the ability to do even more, really, outside of the hospital. And I think, you know, the 10-year plan that has been launched is the reason I think it will be enabled now, where it's not too dissimilar to the Darzi plan that was launched about 10 years ago, if not 20 years ago, is that we've got the digital technology so the clinicians can feel assured that they've got an eye on the patients. And we do that through our care bureau for our cancer patients. And to be able to digitize that in practice is helping us enormously. Our patients get reminders to go and have their blood tests that you talked about, which means that they know when they need to go, which means that if they have the blood test, they get the prescription sent to us. They don't have to worry about any of that. We then deliver them their medicines. And you know, as I said, we're talking about sick patients here who if possible, don't want to take time off work. They want to be in work and they don't have to worry about it. All they need to be there is make sure they get their medicines and they stay well, which is really positive.
But yeah. Also, Jonathan, we've got another app that allows the patient to communicate in real time with us, with any symptoms, anything new they want to report, something that bothering them, and this kind of technology is going to transform care.
Yeah, it is, and I think you know, as a consultant, Sharif, I know that you like to keep a very close eye on your patients, and be assured that they are they're responding properly to their treatment, and I think this is something. Maybe you can talk for other consultants, but this is one of the things that has limited in the past the ability to really decentralize things. But actually now it's something which I think can be done in a different way.
Well, we do it currently through our clinical nurse specialist network, who are spread across the whole country. And they are the nerve center of the whole organization because they are in touch with the patient daily. If need be, they have a very good relationship with patients. And they report to us in real time if there is anything happens. Imagine we couple that with technology as well, as Mike said earlier, wearables and stuff like this. I think we have got enormous opportunity to improve the care that can be offered outside of hospital without a compromise on the quality that that perceived. People feel that if you have treatment at home, it's going to be less good than hospital. Actually, I would probably argue the opposite.
This is interesting. I can see a delicate balance potentially that has to be arrived at, because if you can keep an eye on people remotely using technology, on one hand, this sounds absolutely wonderful. Now, at the moment, a favourite TV program in our household is Call the Midwife. Okay, and it seems to some extent we're going back to the 60s with nurses and midwives going to people's homes. And in this, on every episode, it seems, they go to someone's home and they notice something else which is causing a problem, and they manage to solve the problem. So just treating people remotely and not having someone go there and say, oh, actually, the problem is brought about by, okay, this guy's looking after an elderly father, or there's a hole in the roof, which is, or, you know, whatever it might be, a typical sort of call the midwife story. But there's definitely got to be a balance, I would suggest, between sending a nurse round to see the patient and getting information remotely via some technology, however wonderful that is. Am I living in the 60s, or have I been watching too much TV?
No, I think you would be amazed as to, well, not just our nurses, but the drivers that deliver the medicines to the patients can pick up just simply with a very short interaction with the patient. We obviously, because we're a healthcare provider, very, very careful and clear safeguarding policies, and our staff are all trained to look out for just the sort of things that you saw, whether it's somebody who's got no heating in their house because of the fact that they have no money. And we certainly see that in the winter with some of our patients. Our nurses take heat pads with them so that they can keep warm an arm up to get a vein up to give the infusion. But, you know, the moment they are doing that, they're also making a referral for our safeguarding network in order for us to get the kind of social support they might need into them as well. You pick up all sorts of things. You might deliver a package of medicines to a home, and a 5-year-old child will answer the door, and there's nobody else at home. And our staff are trained to deal with that as well. I think you make a very, very good point. I think, though, it's amazing as well what you can gather through technology, though. And if you really look at if when we start really moving into the age even more so, and you have sensors in patients' houses, you can see whether people are moving around or not, whether how warm the house is. Some people
can tell how often an elderly person goes to the loo, which could be quite important.
And some people would call that snooping. Other people would call it support. And I think it's a balance. But I do think that the truth of the matter is that we will not have the manpower to deliver the care that we do or historically did in the 60s by the midwife. We are going to have to find another way to support our patients so that our clinicians, the doctors, the nurses, the therapists can operate at the top of their license, where we see patients who really need to be seen. Technology is a support and an adjunct. And I would put AI in that as well. There is a place for AI in healthcare, where we're already having a pilot at the moment, supporting our nursing teams. Doesn't replace the nurse, but it can certainly augment quality. And we're finding that in just a small pilot, which we will be publishing in the future.
Interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
May I add to Jonathan's comment? I think we always tend to forget that our philosophy is we look after people. We don't just deliver medicine. We look after people. And by looking after people, whether it's, as Jonathan said, the driver noticed that there's no heating indoors, something might be not right, or the child opening the door, or actually a patient is off color, add that to the technology that looks at blood pressure and blood glucose and temperatures. It gives you a bigger picture of the patient. We're not just interested in cold clinical science. We're interested in people because we look after people. And I think as long as we can maintain this philosophy, into the heart of everything we do, I think adding technology, adding everything together, will only enhance our ability to look after people. One of the biggest things I hear from patients when they come into hospital, every time I go to a clinic, I see a different doctor and have to start again telling my different story. We hope this never happens in sciences.
Okay, interesting. How I can see many benefits on this kind of approach. I suppose the big question is, how is this being supplied? How can it be supplied? Is this happening via the NHS, via your company? What's the story there?
Yeah, so we are partners with the NHS. They contract with us. The majority of our patients are NHS patients across the four countries of the UK, and we also have a clinical team in Switzerland. But this is all the majority of our patients are NHS patients. We do have a smallish number of private patients. A lot of our cancer patients are insured with private medical insurers, so that's that we treat those, and of course those patients then don't need to access the NHS. But the majority of our patients are NHS. We have local arrangements. For example, our rare patients are children, and now, of course, children who would have died before the advent of the therapies we provide now are growing up and going to college and growing old and getting married and stuff like that. So we've got patients who were with us 30 years ago when we first started, and we have our clinical teams there are teams across the whole of the United Kingdom. They have relationships with local hospitals who send the patients to us. They have close working relationships with the consultants, and we deliver the care in the same way as any NHS provider would be providing the care. We every time we see a patient and the nurse sees a patient, the clinical record goes back to the referring centre and they check so they can keep an eye on the patient. In terms of the patient's drugs, if we're just dispensing from our two pharmacies, one in Burton and another one in Leeds, then those drugs are dispensed to the patient's home, and the patients also, we support them with, if they need a blood test, we'll organise that for them as well. But then the referral centres keep an eye remotely on these patients through us. So therefore, we're able to free up space for them because they can see new patients rather than seeing recurring patients.
Jonathan, we're a bit short on time, so I'm going to just ask one final question, which might be a little unfair. So apologies in advance. You've said that this is good for people. It helps people be treated and go to work at the same time, or kids be treated and go to school. Is this good for UK PLC? You know, it keeps people in jobs, it keeps them paying taxes. It sounds like it should be. Is there any actual proof? Has anyone done a kind of study that shows this really works and is good for everybody, including the tax man?
Oh, well, I mean, I think it speaks for itself. I think if you look at the overall, if you look at the way in which our patients are able to get to work, we've got lots of anecdotes. I think you'll find that if you look at medicines management and concordance with medicines across each of the local health authority, the clinical commissioning groups, this is just the sort of reason they contract with us, because they're interested in population health. And that's why we provide this holistic service for patients. 250,000 across the UK is a reasonable number to study.
Very good. Oh, I was hoping you were going to point to a peer review published paper saying, yes, I have the statistics here. Maybe that's a job for the future.
Well, Mike, we are working on a paper to establish exactly that, but I think we have data from Kent that we have reduced acute admissions from patients on treatment by the care that we provide at home.
I will invite you back when it's published.
For the need for patients to go back to hospital has been reduced, and that has been proven in one local authority. We're trying to do that across the whole country, actually. Yeah. So I think you're right. This is a very important point. If we can keep people out of hospital, we're winning.
I think the challenge is a good one, and I think the challenge really is to Public Health England to actually work with us to do that, Mike.
Okay, well, if they're listening, perhaps they will take you up on it. But certainly, this whole topic is very interesting. It's we're just at the start of it because of the technical side of things. Mm. It's going to, you know, help more and more people. I can just see that, you know. I'm not a medical person. I'm just a member of the public, but I can see it's a very important thing to think more about and make more efficient. So thank you very much indeed to both of you for coming along. Perhaps I should ask if people, one more thing, if people are listening and they want more information, where can they go for a good information source for information on this?
They go to our website, www.sciensis.com.
Excellent. Right, that's a perfect place to finish. So, gentlemen, thank you very much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you very much to my guests today talking about treating people at home. They were Sir Jonathan Ashbridge and Dr. Sherif Rauf. If you have trouble with your back pain or poor posture, do check out the back app chair by looking at my website, relaxbackuk.com. The back app chair has helped hundreds of people, and I'm sure it could help you too. Thank you for listening and have a healthy week. Until next week.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week. Until next week.